Reminder to the public that the meetings are being recorded. I also want to add a correction to the agenda. The executive session will be before we adjourn instead of after. Public comments on matters other than those on the agenda. Okay. Consent agenda. Do we need to pull anything for further discussion?
No. I'm not sure why we have approval of synopsis on there, because that's just a synopsis. It's not the official minutes. So I don't know.
We don't really approve it as a synopsis.
So right. The only thing I'd say is we pull that from, okay. From the
remove
agenda.
That.
Yeah, yeah. As a whole. Because if we approve that, then it has the appearance
the of synopsis.
It's part of the official minutes, and it's not.
Right. Okay. So we'll just scratch that completely then. So it'll be just the financial report and warrants on the consent agenda. If there's no need to pull it, I'll ask for a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Discussion and decision on the audit presentation.
We have Matt from Holmes and Turner that is here to present the audit.
So I got a pretty quick presentation on the audit. Similar to last year, there are two audit reports in the financial statements. The first main audit report, just want to reiterate that management is responsible for the preparation and fair presentation of the financial statements in accordance with GAAP. Our responsibility is to express an opinion on the financial statements. Once again, like last year, we issued a non-modified opinion, clean report, no issues there. We didn't have any management comments or anything like that. So really clean this year.
And Matt, just to interrupt, when you say management comments, you mean comments from you guys to us,
right,
on how things are being managed, not from us to you.
Yeah, so sometimes if we don't put it in the report, like a significant deficiency or anything in internal control, we'll just issue a letter to management saying these are some issues that you might want to consider on changing. We didn't have anything like that this year, so everything looked really good. The required supplementary information includes three different parts of the financial statements. It's the MD&A, or the management discussion and analysis, pension schedules, and the budgetary schedules. Just want to let you guys know that we only apply limited audit procedures to those. We are not required to express an opinion. So those are technically unaudited, but we do include those in our review, and when we're tying out financials and everything, we do make sure everything makes sense. So, then we also have the second audit report, which is the audit report on internal control over financial reporting and compliance and other matters based on an audit of financial statements performed in accordance with government auditing standards. Once again, no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in internal control, no instances of non-compliance, and no written management letter comments. So overall, it was a very clean audit. Everything went really smoothly. I think this year we were only out here for a day or two. And yeah, it's great working with you guys, and love being on this audit. So unless there's any questions about the financial statements that I can answer, I think that's pretty much all I've got.
I don't know.
No, I think it looks great.
The only thing I wanted to bring up is that we did save money by having our books prepared in-house to make it easier for you guys.
We actually renegotiated the contract with Holmes and Turner. They were very receptive to the fact that because we brought Rosie on, she prepared audit-ready financials, and as a result, that greatly reduced their time, so they lowered their rate, and that's part of the savings of having her on board. I suspect that that's exactly the way we'll go again next year.
And that is true to an extent, but I mean, we haven't put our bill yet together, and so I just wanted to let you know that, I mean, we did have 10 adjustments, so between that extra time, there's still some extra time that we'll have to consider. But compared to the prior year, I mean, it's going to be significantly less.
Yeah.
So.
How much was the saving?
No, we don't know.
Well, given the fact that, we negotiated down from 9 to 6,500.
Yeah.
So what he's saying or alluding to is might be more than 6,500. Because what we do is we have a core audit price, and then if there's additional work right. that they had to do, then there is an adjustment up
on that.
But we didn't start at 9.
Exactly.
And go right. up. So.
And it's not all 100% savings in the sense that we did spend a little bit of Rosie's time producing.
Right, but
so it's not a 100% gain.
Well, we're not representing any of that.
Yeah, I was just.
But it
it's something new and different right. that we haven't done before.
Right. There is an advantage.
So, any more discussion on the audit?
Just public comment would be all.
So,
yeah, I don't have it.
You guys don't have anything? I'll open it up for public comment. Okay. Motion. Oh.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you're good. You probably don't need to be
there.
You don't want to stand there.
So I'll motion to approve the audit then?
So moved to approve the audit report as given by Holmes and Turner and that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay. You're welcome to stay.
Matt spent the time on this end of the valley today. He's at Eagle Mount all day, so I'm sure he has somebody to go home to.
Thanks for coming out.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Discussion and decision on the Blue Cross Blue Shield policy renewal. So, like, you're
the
one.
Most popular guy in town. Well, Jason, Brian, thanks for inviting me.
Chuck and I, the last couple of years, have kind of just met together and looked over stuff. I don't have enough of these, but I'm going to give you the ones I have, and maybe you can share. And then if you'll pass these out, these are the two plans that you have currently. We'll talk about those real quick. So I don't know how many of you saw last year's renewal. Last year was a horrible year. Last year the rates kind of were scheduled by platinum, gold, silver, bronze, depending on which one you had. It depended on how much the rates went up. Last year, I think your guys' rates went up about 25% to 30%. This year, the increase is about 10, and it normally would be 5%, but the age structure for kids changed this year, so anybody under 19 last year, the rates were the same. This year, they start going up from 16 years old up, so if you have a 20-year-old child, the rates are going to be significantly higher than last year, thus the 10% rate increase. So normally it would have been a 5. You guys have two plan choices. You have a gold 931, which is a, I'll tell you what you currently have, and then I'll tell you what it's changing to. So Blue Shield changed all of its plans this year, and they tweaked them just a touch. They didn't change them a lot, but they did change them a little bit. Last year, your gold 911 was a $1,000 deductible, 80-20 coinsurance. You had a $30 office copay with $3,350 max out of pocket, $3,350 max out of pocket. For an individual, that's always two times for a family. Okay. This year, that same plan, of course, they had to change the code number on it to a gold 931 now. That's a 1,000 deductible, still 80-20 coinsurance. Now it went to a $40 copay instead of a 30, and it's 4,000 max out of pocket instead of 3,350. This year, Blue Shield changed to a 6-tier drug card. Last year, it was a 5-tier. Everything really stays the same for you, except we added one on the end called a non-formulary specialty drug. So unless you have cancer, you would never know the difference from what you currently have. Your other plan choice that you had was a 2,600 deductible 100% plan. That was an HSA eligible plan if somebody wanted to do a health savings account. That plan this year changed to a 2,700 deductible 100%. Okay. If you know anything about HSA plans, they cannot have a doctor's office copay or a drug card and be a qualified HSA plan. Currently, that is an option for your group, but nobody's on that plan. Everybody is on the goal 931. Now, we have 20 plan choices. We have a lot of different variables we could go to. To affect your rate significantly, the next step would probably be one of our silver plans, which would be more in the category of a 3,500 deductible and end up being about 7,350 max out of pocket. It would give you a good drug card still and a doctor's office copay of $40, but your deductible and coinsurance and max out of pocket would be significantly higher. That's probably, if you like the office copay and the drug card, the next step to go to if you want to significantly affect your rates.
But from gold to silver, that's the only really big changes is the deductible out of pocket. Coverage is still the same, except for...
Correct. I can tell you, Chuck and I talked about this last year, Pacific Source is the only other viable option in Montana. Their plans that they have are not competitive with the plans you have. Now, if we went to a bronze plan, they have a bronze plan that's less expensive than ours. But other than that, they can't compete with Blue Cross Blue Shield, especially in your gold $931,000 deductible plan. Theirs will be significantly higher. The outlines of coverage that I have given you guys are going to show the differences in the two plan and the changes for this year with those plans. Does anybody have any questions on any of that?
We don't have to decide.
This is an April renewal. I mean, we're 60 days out. You guys can visit about it and just let me know. I mean, ideally, we'd like to know around the first part of March if we can.
Sounds like subcommittee work to me.
Yeah, maybe even just one person talking with the employees and kind of covering that. I think we did all the heavy lifting last year when we got it squared away with how it was compensated. And, you know, now it's just down to are we offering plans that make sense for our employees? So
keep in mind, again, too, you have two plan choices. You can do up to three in one group. So. This is a thing, we've had this for a couple years, but I like to reiterate it because people who have used it, their testimonials are pretty strong on how valuable it is and how it works. Telemedicine, since the inception of Obamacare, has been a popular topic, but nobody's ever done anything about it. Blue Shield now has what we call virtual office visits. So if anybody has a smartphone, iPhone, iPad, they can set up an appointment through Blue Access for Members, which is a personal site that each member that's insured can go to on the Blue Shield website, set up a personal account. They can go into virtual office visits, they can set an appointment, and it's where a physician will FaceTime you, and if he can visually see you and diagnose you. Now, it's not going to be for serious stuff. It's going to be for sinus infection, ear infection, pink eye maybe. If he can really look at you and say, I clearly can see you're not feeling well and you have a cold or a flu or a sinus infection, he can write a prescription off of that visit, and it's at your $40 copay. Now, what's neat about it is if somebody did take that $2,700 deductible 100% HSA eligible plan, it doesn't have a copay, because it can have a copay to be an HSA eligible plan. But it can on that, and it's at a $40 copay. Or excuse me, it's at a $44 copay January 1, so.
You guys worked on that last year, no questions for us?
So just to give you an idea numbers-wise, last year for your group, for both plans, you were paying $48.54.66 a month. It's going to $53.41. And that's just about exactly a 10% increase.
That's not hard to get. That's our gross.
Not that we can't call Maynard and ask for the expediency of the
meeting,
right? Okay. Happy reading.
All right.
That can be challenging, so give me a call if you have a problem. Yeah. Because there's so many different plan choices that in that renewal that, yeah. Yep.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Any public comment, on the Blue Cross Blue Shield policies? Okay. Discussion and decision. Sourdough Firefighter Association.
Did you miss public comment on?
No, he just
did.
He
did. Okay.
Yeah.
I was out. Okay. I guess I'm the one that requested that on there, so I'll go. It would appear, so the Sourdough Firefighter Association, as I think most all the board members know, I'm not sure the audience does know, but is an association that was started, and I don't know how long ago, it's been around since I've been around.
Oh, yeah, probably close to the inception of the department.
And the Pancake Fund donations from the Pancake Breakfast, those donations go into the association. And I'm not sure how much money they have in there right now, but what it was designed for was that the firefighters, the volunteers, could then spend that money on whatever they chose as regard to, like if they wanted an exercise piece of equipment or you could probably give a better history of what it was spent on early. But it's kind of morphed into all the volunteers get a gift at the end of the year and then I think their Christmas party comes out of it too. And so that's kind of what that has come to. In the past, that was a major contention. I think we had a fire chief that kind of usurped control of the association funds and chose to buy knives when the firefighters wanted coats. And the knives opened in the pocket. Am I off base on that, Brian? They were not high quality. Is that fair to say? And it was something that none of the firefighters wanted. And they wanted jackets or something that year. And so the chief made the decision. Oh, this is what we're doing. And when I took over as treasurer, I guess our administrative person quit, I audited the funds, and funds were going all to different places, buying the chief gift certificates and buying all the paid staff gift certificates for dinner at Christmas and so forth. So we got the funds squared away. I talked to Jason. I think he got them to hold a meeting. There is a charter. I mean, this is a true association. This is not a fake association. They have a bank account. They have their tax ID number and so forth. Well, they got to have something if they got a bank account. And they do have a bank account. So, anyways,
they don't have a tax ID number, though.
Yeah. Not associated with the bank account. So, how does the bank have let them still be open because...
I called the Secretary of State and they have no record of them ever being a nonprofit, ever.
Okay.
I'm just saying that they
But that, did you check with the bank if they have a tax ID number?
We haven't been able to get the account number.
Okay, well, anyway, so you did get, I'm going in chronological then anyways, okay. You did get a president elected, they did have a meeting. They did kind of, you had a secretary treasurer, you had all of those, and they did. This is a volunteer thing. This is not the staff or involved with the trustees. And then I believe was Larkin the president? Is that fair to say? I'm getting a nod over there. I can't remember who the officer. Branting was something. Larkin was something. That was 3 years ago. Do you know?
Yeah, Larkin was the president, and then I am now the president.
You're now the president, okay. And do you have other officers, or are you just kind of...
Yeah, I'm the treasurer.
Okay.
And Katie Webster is the vice president.
And do you guys know who you succeeded? I mean, who was ahead of you?
That was... because we essentially picked up what had kind of dissolved to a certain degree. So Ryan Olson, I believe, was either the vice president or treasurer.
I think actually Craig Garrity was the vice president, and Ryan Olson was the treasurer.
Okay.
I think for the record too, shouldn't we have we should have some names here so that if people listen to this recording, I think we maybe should get names and so on for the recording just so that people can review that since we're getting input from the public here.
Yeah. So Will Charlton, current sitting president for the Volunteer Firefighter Association.
Colin Prado, the treasurer of the Volunteer Fire Association.
So anyway, so that went on for a couple of years, and then I guess you guys have come in, and then Jason last year, or maybe even a year before, was having trouble getting the firefighters to take a super active role, I guess. They're fabulous on coming and performing at this pancake breakfast, but the setup, and since that's more of a, obviously if the pancake breakfast failed, it wouldn't be, we'd never turn it back on the volunteers, you guys failed. It would be a failure of the department. So he advocated that maybe we ought to take the money into our account and and then donate money out to them, or just let it come out and let them spend some money out as they choose. Is that a fair representation of what, in a synopsis, obviously you're gonna speak. I was hesitant and somewhat not anxious to do that because I think it's really important that the volunteers have some ownership, have their money, and that's the way it's been going. And that way it kept the trustees out of ever getting in the middle of that. And we clearly had an example where JD wanted to do one thing and the firefighters wanted another. If I recall, at some of those Ray meetings, there were some pretty angry firefighters, pretty angry volunteers, and what I understood is much of that stemmed from him just kind of usurping their money, and it's kind of like, let's let the volunteers have and be able to do that. So that's why it's on the agenda, because this year what happened is the money got deposited into our account, so it's in ours, and all the expenses are still in ours. What had happened before is we let them use our accounts to charge things, putting it together, and then they just reimbursed us from, we put all the money in theirs, and then they reimbursed us for the expenses, and the net was theirs. And so this year that changed. We have a new treasurer who didn't know kind of how that had gone before. And so then he and I talked, and I said, well, that's a change. And I think at the bare minimum, if that's the change that we make, it needs to be out on the table, acknowledged, handled, because ultimately, as we well know, the public will hold us accountable for those funds. And so if they get spent in a manner that is not transparent and so forth, then, the trustees, whoever they be at that time, are likely to find themselves with some questions and perhaps some disappointment. So that's why it's on the agenda, and that's my presentation. I'm sure Jason, or maybe you guys came to say something too, but.
I don't know if Walt wants to,
I guess I'd like to weigh in, but I guess from my perspective, as Chuck mentioned, I came in a little bit unaware of the history of how the funds were managed, and given the transaction that occurred with regard to depositing of the funds into the highlight account, it just seemed like a normal course of action to me. But I wholeheartedly agree with Chuck in the sense that this is something that needs to be in the interest of full transparency. And I know this board has been really good about pursuing transparency, and I think that's a very important thing for this board to do. And so I think having this on the agenda is important, and I don't think there's any disagreement, at least from my perspective, and I suspect, you know, I can't speak for the rest of the board, but it'll be interesting to see if there's consistency here. But I don't think there's any disagreement as to how those funds should be spent with regard to supplemental needs of the firefighters. I don't think there's any disagreement. I think where the disagreement may lie is the mechanism that we use to achieve that goal. And I guess from my perspective, I think that this board should seriously consider the options that I think the chief's going to present with regard to how we may best manage those resources in the best interest of the firefighters. And then also in a way that's consistent with transparency and consistent with achieving fiduciary responsibility by the board, as well as the goal of getting those funds to the firefighters in a manner that makes sense. I guess that's all I have to say in terms of introductory aspects of it.
What's the total amount in the account?
I don't think they have an accounting on what's in the checking account.
You mean their account or?
Their account.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no, we don't have evidence of any statements. We can't find statements and so on.
So it's just the $4,000 that's from the pancake breakfast?
Well, apparently there are
money in that account, right?
And it's, I think it's a U.S. bank. Yeah. So I don't know why we can't march right in. I mean, I've done that with Shrine Clubs before and marched in there and said, hey, I need to.
Yeah, Brian contacted him today and they said we need an account number, and so we couldn't get an account number. We called Prado, but he was at work and he has the checkbook in his house.
So you do have a checkbook?
I do.
Yes. Well, so we got the mechanism.
Yeah, we have it. Yeah, we just couldn't get it today.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have the whole folder with all the account balances up to about 2015 is when they stopped. So we also went in there about January or February of last year to change over to have us actually on the account, and we couldn't do that without having a lot of stuff. We don't have. We don't have bylaws. I can't find them anywhere. We don't have a charter or anything like that. They're not present. And what it takes to get the other signers off the account is a lot of legwork by us.
By the way, Chris Kent, JD,
still
signers for that.
Well, I know you got bylaws because I saw them. So where the copy is, I have no clue. I mean, back, and I would presume that they are quite very well possibly in the basement of Cottonwood or with whoever the officers were when that came about, because that was a big deal. I mean, it's one of those things where I was told, oh no, the staff and the bookkeeper doesn't touch it. And when I looked at the checks, the staff was writing the checks and the bookkeeper was doing stuff. So then I just did an audit on it and handed it over to the new president at that point. I guess I gave it to Jason to give to the new president. And I remember you had them have a meeting and they got organized, and obviously it ran until about 15 and then it fell apart again.
So to answer your question a little bit more, so whatever balance is currently in the account, in addition to that balance, the event this year earned roughly $4,000. So, there's one expense that's still kind of up in the air, but roughly $4,000 plus whatever.
Right, right. I guess it's sort of immaterial how much is in that account. I was just sort of curious, but it seems to me that there are two issues. One, if we can't find bylaws and all that, that's great. It's an opportunity to start again. So we would want to set up the situation. I agree with all your comments. I think it's great for the volunteers to have ownership in it, but put some sort of clause in there that upon, you know, termination or transition, the accounts roll back to us or something like that, so that we have control over it. I mean, there's an opportunity there to prevent
somehow what we experienced last time.
Where we're at right now.
Yeah, just clean up a little bit, and you know, it's we don't want to make it. We want to make it, in my opinion, we want to make it sort of fun and enjoyable for the volunteers to run it, you know, and at least hassle as possible. So if there are things we can do to make it easier, you know, even if that's saying it's okay for our staff to be handling the books or something like that, I'd be in favor of doing that. But I like the idea of keeping it separate.
And maybe we can have, for example, Rosie help them a little bit.
Yeah. Once a year, there ought to be a report to the board on activities, and you know,
it's basically checkbook accounting.
Yeah,
I mean, literally.
Right.
And I knew nothing of the thing, and I was able to audit it and get it squared up and get everything balanced out of it. I think in 3 hours, and it hadn't been done for 4 or 5 years.
So you know, transparency is good, and ownership is good, and making sure that we don't get renegade action either by our board or by a chief for president of the fund is a good idea too.
And I'd like to remind you, I mean, for the most part, we have individuals that are, you know, high quality individuals involved in our firefighting organization. But in terms of oversight of how those monies can be spent, it is feasible for, especially given the way the signatures that are currently on there, for those, somebody could write a check, disappear, with taxpayer dollars, essentially, the donated dollars.
No, it's not taxpayer
dollars. But they're donated dollars. But those dollars, that check could be written, and that money could disappear with no recourse.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
Under the current situation.
What do the firefighters want? What's your vision here?
We're in pretty close agreement with what Rubisky proposed in terms of the carbon management to an extent. Because I agree, I think it streamlines things in terms of for the rollover and the transition and everything. But then again, I was totally unaware of this until I read on the door, you know, going to a call that this was on board. So we're still mulling this over, to be perfectly honest. And while Rubisky is a great chief, and I've got, you know, full faith in him, we don't know that he's always going to be our chief. And I just want to make sure whoever's helping us is on our side.
So, you want it to stay the way it is, but the organization and the management's the challenge.
If you guys had help writing the bylaws, and had input from the volunteers, and I guess really the crux of it is do you think going forward that you can get a president and get a secretary treasurer? You got to meet probably what every twice a year maybe or something like that, other than committees on getting that done. But do you feel that's too much as volunteer firefighters that you guys would feel? Because that is exactly my concern, is that if it comes in house and the chief has any control over it, and then the board, you don't know who's going to be here. And I hate to see that autonomy go away, but I certainly appreciate that you need help, and I think anybody can help get that rolling. It got started and then it kind of fell back apart, obviously. So it just takes a little bit of help, and it takes commitment by somebody becoming president when you're ready to be done handing the reins over and helping there, because the bylaws and stuff, they're written once. And I'm not so sure I didn't keep a copy. So, yeah. You know, there's things that we're unaware of here that we can get corrected, and then help you, and you guys can have your autonomy. And that's the part that's important.
$48.28 in the account is probably not worth it to go chase down the prior cast of characters.
They gotta have a tax ID number if they have a bank account, because those bank accounts get audited. And banks aren't going to let.
They could be using the old sour note tax ID.
Well, what I'm saying is there's an account, there's a tax ID associated with that.
Yeah.
And so any of that legwork, which I fully appreciate, they don't want to do that, but it's not much. I mean, not to diminish that it is something, but it's, and it doesn't mean they have to do it.
As an alternative, though, before there's commitment, though, I think. You know, one possible alternative to that scenario is to change the model that's currently being utilized and proposed for renewal, reinvigoration, and to possibly change that model to bring those monies into the fire department, and with a specific earmark, and if a policy is necessary, perhaps draft a policy where there are some guidelines as to how the interaction occurs with the firefighters association and so on. And you have, if you're already going to bring the accounting into it, then perhaps earmark those dollars and associate a policy with how those dollars can be spent, the interaction between the chief and the firefighters, and in the decision-making process on how those dollars are expended. I mean, that's an alternative that I think should be seriously considered by this board, and not just pursue the old model that we had and try and reinvigorate an old model that is prone to failure, in my book.
Well, I think that needs adjustment there, but, you know, as boards change and stuff like that, and as chiefs change and everything else, I still see this issue happening. And I don't know, if I was sitting on that side of the table, I guess it's a little more intimidating to come to the board and try to get your money back, where I really think commingling that back into here can be abused again by less than favorable staff or trustees down the road. And then I think it just takes away the ownership and the pride. And I mean, these guys work really hard to make that money, and to have anybody else have control of that but them would really bother me.
So, in just an interest in moving this forward, because I think we're all going in the same direction here, like you mentioned, walls and transparency, making it easy. How about if you guys come back to us with a recommendation, and what kind of help do you need? You know,
like, I guess we haven't heard from Chief on this yet either. I mean, I'd like to provide Jason an opportunity to provide his views on it. And his proposals.
Well, first of all, this is not the mountain I'm ready to die on. Let me make that perfectly clear. I went through this and this same circumstance and issue when I was in Big Sky Volunteer Firefighters Association. As time went on, they were less and less interested in managing pancake breakfast, and it just slowly started shifting to the work of the paid staff to do it. It was the same condition, not bad people, just people not interested in managing money.
No, wait, I hear two different things there. Managing the accounts or doing the pancake breakfast. Now, are you saying that's what's happening here? Paid staff's more doing the breakfast than the volunteers?
We are managing the breakfast. We're doing the food ordering and
okay.
It used to be, you know, when I first came here, you know, 7.5 years ago, it was all volunteers ordering it all and doing all that. As time has gone by, it just more of that focus has shifted. We order the food and we get the inflatable house going, and we get the signs ordered, get the signs put up, and yeah, it's just...
It's more of a partner.
It's a natural evolution.
Okay.
You know, when and this is not... I was a volunteer firefighter for years, but when a volunteer firefighter all of a sudden sees paid staff there, it's kind of natural for them to think, well, those guys are getting paid. They're there. They can... And we don't mind doing it.
Right.
And then the other issue is quite frankly, I believe, and this is just my humble opinion, take it for what it's worth, is that when Mrs. Smith comes to the pancake breakfast and writes a check for $100 to the Highlight Fire Department, they don't think it's going to an association. They think it's going to the fire department to make the fire department better. And so while it's not tax dollars, it's still taxpayers contributing voluntarily to the district. And my only concern is that I think these guys are salt of the earth. But with a separate bank account that isn't having any 990 reporting or anything else associated with it, any single member who's a signer could write a check to cash because they were moving, take all the funds, and it wouldn't even be illegal. It would not even be against the law.
Right.
And when again, it's just my Boy Scout approach to this. It's not that I'm trying to make more work for you guys in bookkeeping. I just think that if it's in our account, and at least there's some oversight of those monies, they can't spend it on prostitutes and cocaine. And they only did that once. They only did it once. But I just, what I'm saying is at least we can make sure that when they sit down in their group and say, we want a new treadmill, I can say, great, that absolutely benefits our taxpayers. You're here at the station ready to respond and getting fit. Hey, we'd like a new television in the work. Absolutely. We want sweatshirts, all these great incentives that the taxpayers would completely support, as opposed to them being able to spend it, whoever happens to be the signer, on whatever they want.
Well, isn't that what's happened in the past, though?
It has, by the fire chief.
And it wasn't paid staff, but it was staff.
It was a volunteer.
It was paid staff.
Huh?
It was paid staff.
Yeah. Well, it was. One was.
Two of them were.
JD wasn't.
No, but Chris Kent was. And, yeah. And Debbie was.
Oh, was she the signer?
Too. Yeah,
she's. I'm just saying, in the past, there were abuses of that system. And if it was run through our budget, the fire chief would be able to oversee it. The board oversees the fire chief. The treasurer signs the checks. And there would just be some oversight of it. And again, my Boy Scoutish approach, and I'm sorry to be that way all the time, except when I'm around Chuck and then he brings it. But I just see that as, and I know that you guys may see it differently, and that's why I said in the beginning, this is not the mountain I want to die on. I'm explaining why I went this direction. If you guys want to go a different direction, not going to hurt my feelings in the slightest bit. But I take those donations seriously, because I think most people think that's going.
Would you agree that if we put up a banner saying all donations given today go to the Sourdough Firefighters Association, that that would probably cover that?
I don't know. I'm saying I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would register.
I'm worried about what these guys.
That's what I'm worried
what
about.
What they think and what they
sure.
want.
Sure. And how you guys are welcome to get all of their input.
He'd take your money and run too.
I really can't.
I don't know this one time thing. I don't think it was you guys. It might have been. Yeah. So what would you, I mean, is that the problem, is you just need a place to put it that's safer than where it is, or?
I would say we've got essentially two routes to go. As far as I can see at this point here without any further thought.
Right.
So we establish a 501c to give it accountability and make it a true nonprofit, also so that when people are donating it to us, they can deduct it. Or we go the route that Purvisky just described. And the 501c, obviously, that just poses a whole new set of challenges that I think...
A lot more work.
Why can't you just do a nonprofit? Why do you have to make it tax deductible?
Specifically when I was getting donations, someone did ask me, you know, can I write this off?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I didn't know. So I called Rubisky on it, and he told me if he writes it to the department, he can. But to the Sourdough Firefighter Association, he cannot, because we were just a bank account. Right, but we're not.
You guys are a nonprofit now. Obviously,
the state.
Would you let me finish? So the bottom line is, the way the bylaws read and all that, you're a nonprofit. There can be nonprofits that are not tax deductible. That's the 501c3 part.
Okay.
So you can become just as we're discussing. We can write bylaws, file them with the state, and you can have a nonprofit status within a week.
Okay.
But it does mean that anybody who donates to it cannot deduct that as a donation. I mean, they can't. It's not a tax deductible because you haven't gone through the IRS part of it. And you've just registered as a nonprofit, which you guys clearly would fall under. There wouldn't be any problem there.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying that that was a problem with that person making the donation? Or just curiosity?
No, they were fine. It was more curiosity on their behalf. I mean, I think it would be nice to offer that to people, because if they are generous enough, it would be nice for them to at least have that additional incentive. And that's why I had that check specifically then, or that donation was made to the Highland Fire Department as opposed to us. Any money that we specifically raised, so we did a raffle I try to make that explicitly clear with anyone who did donate that this was going to the Firefighter Association, not the department. And I explain them what that goes to, like the jackets that we all have right now, that came out of that. A bunch of things that used to be like helmet lights, any number of things that are outside of the department's budget we would like. And so that's how I explained it. Right. It's not going to, you know, a fun weekend up in Big Sky or something. These are going to things that do benefit us, but are just, you know, a little outside the budget. So yeah, in terms of managing that though, like I said, we've not, you know, at least I personally haven't put nearly as much thought until it was brought to the forefront here in terms of, I guess, the concerns that Riverski has. Right. Because that's not a concern that I've had with myself, but I don't disagree with him that you could have someone else in my seat that could be more reckless. So I do share his concerns
right.
as well. So I think it is perfectly reasonable trying to come up with a solution. But I guess the short story is, I don't know if I have it.
And we don't have to do this tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, if you guys want to go back to your constituents and see where everybody wants to go, I mean, you know, we're just spitballing now and mm-hmm. and we can go any direction. So don't feel under, you know, that you have to call it tonight, because mm-hmm. we don't. If this just raised more questions we need to answer, that's great too. We can do that, so.
Yeah, I think we have to look into the complexity of the situation too. If we are going to go our own way, which is something that I wasn't, you know, necessarily thinking. I was perfectly okay with what Riverski proposed. But if we are, I mean, that raises a lot of questions. I got to make sure that it is something that we can perpetuate. Because even if, you know, the current group that we have right now can do it, I just want to make sure that whoever comes after us is also capable of doing that. And
that's right.
A question that takes a little bit more delving into than I can do right now. So.
So if you were allotted the time to do that research and talk to the rest of the firefighters as the president, then is that something that you would be interested in coming back with, doing some research, finding out what your alternatives are, and if they're, you know, interaction with the chief and so on that, and, you know, maybe explore your options
yep.
And do that homework and be more informed in the discussion process later on. Would that make sense?
Absolutely. A chance to go down to US Bank, try and get access to that account again. A chance to get a hold of the bylaws, because I do know that it exists. I think they're actually on someone's computer. I think it might be Ryan Olson's computer. I think he should have one. But just to get all the information out, you know, it gives us a couple of trainings, which is a chance to talk to almost all the firefighters at once to bring it up. And it also gives me more time to talk with Riverski and
Why don't we just structure this under a committee and kind of go that way, and then, you know, if you want Chuck and Jason or somebody kind of helping with it, or you know, however you want to do that, just structure up a committee, and then if you so choose that you want to address the board with a proposal of what would work for you guys or something, then you got some input from the board side and everything else to make a good rational decision that gets you guys what you want.
Yeah, I'd be happy to serve on that committee.
This is something I just, in all of my tenure, has been for the firefighters, for you guys, and it's, you know, it's a morale thing, and you work hard for that money, and it's to benefit you guys, you know, for what you do for us here. So I'd hate to see a board take that over unless it was under some pretty rigid conditions that we could make sure that mission statement's never lost. Mm-hmm. Because it's in the past it was used for a lot of other different reasons, because we couldn't carry money over in the fire department and all kinds of things. All of that's went away now, and I think the whole focus is just on, you know, what you guys as volunteers can do to raise funds, and then what you can do to, mm-hmm. you know, make life better for you guys while you're here. So,
no, absolutely. I completely agree.
So,
yeah.
So, we'll just let that committee kind of form as it does, and we'll come to a recommendation at some point down the road. Anytime you want something on the agenda or something, if you want to, we can get it on there, no problem. So I think this is just great, just to open it up and
yeah, that's where we need to be
and stuff. And I don't know, right right now, I guess we'll just keep these funds earmarked until we can figure out more answers to the questions that were raised here.
And then from an accounting standpoint, Rosie already has it. She didn't start an account because we don't know how this decision will go.
Right.
So everything is earmarked, obviously, based
on this. Yeah, we've got a record of what's going on.
And so we have a record of everything that's transpired.
And time for that other bill, if it's coming, to come in.
Right. And get some solid numbers, but yeah. I like the way this is going, and I we'll figure something out and make it as good as we can, because, you know, whatever we can do to make it easier for you, we're definitely willing to do, because you guys do a lot for us, so.
Thank you. Not a doubt.
Okay. Well, we'll let that one run, and look forward to more information from there. Any public comment on the association funds? Okay. Trustee elections. Chuck, I believe you.
No, that's not me. I think Alana got a letter, so I don't know if...
Oh, okay.
And I apologize. I got it late last week and I haven't studied it, but it did come from Charlotte Mills. I believe the elections are to be held May.
Let me help you. I can do from memory. Anyways, so we need to tonight pass a resolution that we have two trustee positions coming available. The last day to file it is, I did look that up, it's February 12th. As we have done in the past, you know, we try to have them here available at the station. I don't know if last year we put one online. I know they can get them from the county. You can go down to the county and get them. It's a county, we are not a county board per se, but we use that system. It's used so that you can get the things at the election office, the applications at the election office. They'll be here on the counter. Now, last year we ran two ads, and as well was well noted by probably my best newspaper reader, he didn't see them, and those were at a cost. The county does run an ad also, and we can put it on the website. So the biggest thing to me is whether or not we run additional ads above what the county does and what we can do on our website. And of course, obviously announcing it at this meeting. I think our next meeting will be after the deadline to file. So this would be the one meeting that it gets mentioned. Yeah, but we, and I can write a resolution pretty quick that the board.
I had forgot about the resolution.
Yeah, and it came in the letter. So there's a mock one. Do you know where that letter is?
It's in, I don't have a hard copy. It's in email.
It's in email, okay.
Do you want me to go?
Would you go print that? Can you go print that right now?
Yep.
That'd be great, because that we need to pass that resolution and what.
Yeah,
it
we can move on to the chief report and then come back. Yeah.
So would you just for clarification?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Do you want me to put the application on the website?
I mean, that's to the board.
I figured you wanted it here at the station.
Or at least, can you hot link it to the counties?
We'll try our best. So we'll do it one way or the other.
What I would like, what I'm saying though for the website specifically is I think we need to have something on the front page.
Advertising.
That says two trustee positions are available and they're 3-year terms when this all comes out in that resolution. They're a 3-year term, two trustee positions come up. You need to file your application in the county election office by February, I think it's 5 p.m. February 12th.
Who's up this year?
Dave and I. So, and I did look it up, but since I didn't plan on being the presenter tonight, I want to double check that February 12th. I'm 99% sure, but I definitely want to check that. And February is always the time frame when it is due. It takes 3 district residents to sign.
I thought it was 5.
Yeah, see, maybe it's 5. Anyways, it does.
It has been unless they change.
Yeah, in order to run, it does take signatures. It's either 3 or 5 residents. I think you're right. I think it's 5.
I think it was 5.
Was it? Okay, so it's 5. It takes 5 residents, And they check the signatures. They need to sign. They need to sign however they do it. And they need to be in the district and in order to get on the ballot. And as usual, if there aren't enough people running to fill the spots, the county then appoints. If there are only two running and there's two seats, then the advantage to the district is that we spend about $7,000 on an election, and so that's it. But if there's three or more running, then an election will be had, and it will be the top two vote getters that get it.
Yeah, and that falls on the department. The county doesn't pay for it.
No, they charge us.
Yeah.
For the election.
Yeah, I thought one of them was $9,000.
No, this is fine. Okay, so here's the resolution. And I guess there's the oath of candidacy, and it is February 12th, so that's nice.
Oh, you're feeling pretty proud, aren't you?
No, I'm just glad that Alzheimer's has not fully set in. So I'm going to read this, and this is what I would make a motion that the board passes.
Okay.
Resolution calling for trustees election, whereas in section 33216 MCA code requires trustees of rural fire district to be elected and can only be appointed by the county commissioners if no nominations are made for trustee offices, and whereas candidates for the office of treasurer and the fire district to be filled by the election may file their declaration of candidacy form at least 85 days prior to the election day, and whereas Montana election laws require the election to be held on school election day, which is May 8th, 2018, so that's the day. Whereas the trustees of the fire district have determined that two trustee positions will expire May of 2018, and whereas the trustees find it necessary to elect two trustees at the election in 2018, now therefore be it resolved, a trustee election shall for the above named rural fire district, Highlight Fire District, to elect two trustees shall be held on May 8th, 2018. A declaration of candidacy form for trustee may be filed with Gallatin County Election Department no later than February 12, 2018. If the number of candidates is equal to or less than the number of positions to be elected, the county governing body shall declare elected by acclamation each candidate who filed a nominating petition for position. If a nomination is made for one or more trustee positions, the county governing body shall appoint one or more trustees as necessary to fill those positions. Dated this 23rd day of January 2018. And Mr. Chair, I so move this resolution I'm going to make the motion.
Before public comment?
Yeah, and then they can still comment after
that. Oh, okay.
And that's why I'm just because I read it, I don't.
Oh, because you can amend your motion.
Yeah.
And I'll second it so it's on the table.
Okay. All right. Public comment on the election. Okay. And motion to approve the resolution.
Well, the motion's done.
Or,
all those in favor?
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None.
And if you would sign that, that's got to go too sharp. So the only thing left is, do we want to run ads in the paper or not? Spend the extra money to run
ads? Well, the county does.
County does do that.
Yeah, so
we did it last year and nobody saw it.
Put it on the
website. We need to take a photocopy and then it's got to go to Sharp.
Mail it. Or get it to Sharp. Okay.
I think, putting it on the website.
Right. The county's going to advertise it. I mean, whatever else we can do, I want to do, like the website and stuff.
I trust you'll put it out in your newsletter or onto your email.
So.
I think given our past last year that nobody saw it in the newspaper, it's probably not a wise spending of taxpayer, but we'll do everything else
because
the county has it.
Yeah, we're the county's already covering it. We're getting it in the newspaper if it was of interest, so.
And a lot of this is the application, so if you'd make comments.
Chief Rubisky report.
Well, we ended last year at just about, I'm going to say approximately 501 calls because we're still trying to
figure out when the end of the year was.
Yeah. Some people say, because we do a number of calls that aren't tracked by dispatch. If someone calls in and says, hey, can you We had Bozeman Fire calls once, so we're still trying to get that together of how many, but at least 501 calls last year. Pretty consistent with what we did last year. We had already run 31 calls as of January 18th, so January's been pretty busy for us. Roster hasn't changed much. We actually have one of our sourdough residents moving out, but we think we have a replacement for him. Landon Zimmerman got a job with the Hebgen Basin Fire Department, and they have a residency requirement, so he has to live in West Yellowstone.
Okay.
God bless him. I still have three firefighters at the Ray House. We should be done with the Fall Recruit Academy Wednesday night. So they did really well, really good class.
Sounds like you're outperforming dispatch when it takes them 6 months.
12 months.
Oh, on the news it was 6 months.
Yeah. So.
and that's five days a week, isn't it?
That is very optimistic.
Yeah, and that's 5 days a week, right? And you train how many days a week?
Recruits do too.
Yeah. So another feather in your cap for a really good program.
I don't know about performing 911 dispatch is a big feather in my cap. We did our night with Santa again this year. It's our third year. Fourth year. Doing the night with Santa, really good. More people than even last year, which last year we thought was really good. Even more people this year. So I just still will continue to think that's a great community activity.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
People really enjoy it. We got our new AEDs that we ordered. They're all fully in service on the trucks and the kits. And thank you for funding that. I was able to get 16 handheld Motorola radios. You guys approved a capital replacement item on that. So far, I've gotten 16 from the Bozeman Fire Department for free.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I should get about 4 or 5 more. So that's going to take a big chunk out of what we were going to have to spend.
How did you negotiate that? Bribery? Blackmail?
He just doesn't want to put it on tape.
Oh! where were you kissing?
The Bozeman Fire Department, they moved to the 800 megahertz trunked radio system that the police did. And so the second I heard about that, I was all over Chief Waldo about, what are you going to do with your old radios? What are you going to do with your old radios? Hey, by the way, what are you going to do with your old radios? We could sure use those radios. And I think I wrote at least 20 text messages to the assistant city manager, who used to be the fire chief. And with enough persistence, they gave it to us. So that's huge for us.
Oh.
We got bank chargers. I mean, they really...
A turnkey operation.
It was an awesome. We had to have an Allen reprogram them, but otherwise, and they're really nice radios. They're even nicer than our nice radios that we have. Because they have, how many frequencies?
A lot.
you can put 400 different frequencies. Really good operating radios. I'm going to draft a letter, and I was going to ask the board tonight if you would mind signing it as a thank you note to the Bozeman Fire Department for that, because that's saving us thousands and thousands of dollars.
Oh, wow. That's huge.
So that's pretty neat. I was also able to get 16 mobile radios, the kind that go in vehicles, from the state of Montana, from the DNRC, also for free.
VHF? What are they?
Yeah, I mean, they're just like the radios we use. Yeah, there's...
So what did Bozeman do with all their mobiles? Did they have a place for it?
They're keeping them in their trucks, as I understand, because going to the... problem with going to 800 megahertz is you can't talk to anybody else in the county except dispatch. So they need to keep at least the majority of their mobile radios, described to me.
Okay.
So now two radios instead of one, so that when mutual aid comes, you're off the 800 megahertz system and you're back to VHF.
Okay.
So how's that going to affect life on the street?
I don't know. I really don't know. But we got free radios.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
So...
process.
We're good.
Yeah, they're the only fire department in the county that's going to...
These are them.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Does it have a little strobe light so when you're walking you don't get run over?
It's not that fancy.
Oh.
Yeah. So those, are, in the purpose of those is to replace our 30-some-odd-year-old radios that are mounted in our trucks that the firefighters use on calls. So yeah, so we got some handheld radios.
Well, thank you.
We got some mobile radios because we need those mobile radios. You know, those are what we put in stations. Ray needs a new one. This building needs one in the bay. So the plow truck needs one. I got more than we needed, but it was the state. So you just
Right. You
get some, and then if we don't use them, we can give them to another fire department to use.
What's the state upgrading to?
Good. Yeah, I think the DNRC is going to 800 megahertz, but I didn't ask any questions.
Yeah.
Just curious.
Yeah, you just get them. And that's about it. No big deals, injuries, anything.
You want us to take that under advisement during your evaluation too, I suppose.
That would be good. It has to offset so much of the other stuff. That would be excellent. Yeah. I got one more thing. And you guys don't have to make an immediate decision. So Brian and I have been working really hard on speccing this new rescue truck. We've met twice with the rep from Hughes Fire who cares apparatus. We went yesterday, drove to Helena Fire, because they have just recently gotten two new Pierce trucks, and we were told that they were looking at a lot of stuff that we were looking at. And I'm going to suggest to the board, and again, I could take this out of our regular budget, but I want you guys to, I think it would be wise for Brian and I to take a trip to the factory and look at the trucks on the line. I mean, we learned so much just looking at Helena's. They're two trucks, but they're identical. It was very valuable yesterday. And for us, you know, when you go to the factory at Pierce, they literally have 60, 70 trucks in the process of being built. And you can really look at what that cabinet's gonna look like and look at what the lighting system for the scene lighting is. And I think it's a good idea. And I just want to make sure that you guys don't have any issue with that.
Where's the factory?
Appleton, Wisconsin.
I think it's a great idea.
I went when we got the one truck. That was on picking it
right.
up. But I mean, to see their pump house and everything. And the one mistake we made is we didn't make them pump the truck because it was wintertime. And they had to re-winterize it.
Right.
And we got home and had
frozen. Yeah.
Well, we weren't frozen because we didn't run it.
It didn't pump correctly.
Well, we ended up, one of the pin connectors had a drop of red paint in it. And when they put it together, one wasn't making the connection to idle the motor up when you were pumping.
Yeah.
I don't know how we found that. We were just lucky, I guess. But no, it is an amazing.
Let me suggest that not only this board member thinks it's a good idea, but when you're out there, I would think it'd be a good idea to go back again as it's whatever stage of construction it's in.
Well, you go for an inspection before you take delivery of the truck. And I think it cost us an extra day with things we found that meant to be.
Yeah,
I just think the back end savings so outweigh the front end cost.
Well, there is an educational thing.
I talked about today, and if we're going to invest close to $600,000, we'd like to be as well educated as you can.
And it's nice because I did this a number of times when I was in Big Sky, but you go back and you can actually talk face to face with their engineers.
Yeah.
And you're asking, hey, we want to do this, and the engineer can actually explain to you why that's a terrible idea or why that's a perfectly good idea, and single axle versus tandem axle and weight. And you know, you can really talk to them about, are we pushing the limit here? Should we put less water on it? And with the sales guy just comes back and says, yes, they'll do it.
Yeah.
And you don't know exactly where you're at. Or, you know, the sales guy was trying to tell us, you know, well, you don't need a generator on it because you're using LED lights and the alternator will put out. But engineer actually sit down with you and say, yeah, we don't want to be maxing out the alternator, you know, so, I mean, we'd love to save money by not putting a generator on, but not at the expense of burning out alternators constantly.
And is there a difference between what the sales guys tell you and the engineers?
It's very different.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, because they'll just tell you, yes, I can do it.
Well,
yes, I can do it.
One thing that I got there too is they wine and dine you pretty good, but it's with other customers. And other than Florida doing flamingo paint fire trucks,
nothing wrong with that.
You can get some valuable information from those guys as to what they're doing and everything. You know, granted, a lot of them were city, so there was a different demographic there. Mm-hmm. A lot of interesting ideas.
Yeah, I mean, they have, I don't know how many different SCBA seat where the SCBA is going to it, and you're just looking at pictures. But when you go to the factory, you can actually see.
You work if you use your vacation time, though, to do it.
What's that?
You will use your vacation time to do it.
But that's what I figure.
Yeah, okay.
Even when I'm doing it on my day off,
he's got so much vacation time that really isn't a threat.
I would suggest that even if you go out for inspection, you go out twice in addition to the inspection. Because you're going to come back after your first trip, you're going to noodle around here, you're going to talk to other people, you're going to come up with a whole bunch more stuff. It's just so cheap for us to send you there to save us so much headache on the back end. That's just how I feel about it as one board member. I think it's money.
Yeah, I don't know. Because when you go through the factory, you see every stage of the whole process. And I don't know whether I could pick one that would tell me what I want to know until. I mean, the truck's got to almost be done.
No, I mean, I don't know anything about this stuff, but they said, yeah, we'd like to invite you back 3 months before we put the final painting on it for whatever. And that's in addition to the inspection. I'd be in favor of it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll figure out. We just think on the front end of this, it probably, again, after looking at Helen's truck, there were some things that we were seriously considering, then we looked at their truck and we're like, no, we don't like the look of that at all. That's not going to work. But on paper, you don't see it that
right.
way. And did they give you some good recon on what it's like to actually operate this thing?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, they very much like the truck.
Yeah.
And again, talking to them was invaluable because they said, hey, don't forget to spec the tires you want. Because they'll just put standard tires on it. They said, we can't get around Helena right now with the standard tires. And some of this stuff we already knew, like they said, hey, you really need to put a locking rear differential on this. And we're like, we got that. But, you know, they built cabinets very similar in the interior that we want to do. And they didn't put enough space between the knees sitting in the chair in the cabinet. And so they had a hard time getting in and out of the truck. And they said, definitely move that cabinet back. So. And they did some pretty fancy stuff that we're not. They had remote control deck guns on the top of it, and they were really trying to talk that up. We're not putting remote control deck guns on top of our truck. But yeah, they really liked the trucks and were really happy with the configuration of the trucks.
Well, I think, yeah, Pierce is one of the few that's actually got some longevity in the industry.
Yeah.
A lot of the rest of them have come and went.
Yeah. And none of them are perfect, right. But I don't know.
Who's supposed to fire run? Do they ever ran?
They ran Pierce for years, and now they're running Suffin, but they're complaining about the same things about Suffin that they complain. I mean, Suffin's a good company too, but again, they're not perfect.
Yeah.
It's like a Toyota or a Honda. I mean, everybody's going to have their complaints, but you just don't want to buy the Yugo.
Right. And you have to look into, like, Pierce, like, I don't know that Sufton offers in the state of Montana service. So they buy the truck kind of knowing that there's no service tech in Montana for that truck. Where Pierce has a very reputable service tech in the state.
Yeah, Pierce probably has. His name's Sean. He's actually a firefighter for the city of Missoula. And he's a real deal apparatus mechanic. I mean, that guy's impressive. And no other company has anything like that in our little region. And just that alone is a good reason to go with Pierce, is just for the service piece of it. That,
so he just drives a truck around and fixes stuff?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he does big skies and, he just travels around. That's his side job from working at the fire department. He is an official Pierce
service.
Okay. So do you have in your mind, in addition to spending time in Helena, other departments you'd like to go see the apparatus at work, or sort of a pre-evaluation plan in your head about what you'd like to learn before you even go out?
Well, we talked to Andy about that, and again, Helena, it was just dumb luck that they're relatively close, and they have two-year-old trucks, which I consider relatively new.
Which they had a chance to.
Right, and otherwise, it seems like the benefits of going, you know, a long way away. We could call other departments. Andy could give us a long list of ATAR, and we could call them. I'm not sure. Just going to look at one singular truck here and then driving 6 hours to go see one singular truck, whereas going to the factory,
right,
you see a lot of product at the factory. I think that would be the most economical time best spent.
Yeah, I think they were delivered 20 some trucks when we were there, just in the three days we were there, you know, to different departments. So you got to look at, we actually got together with a couple of different departments and went over each other's trucks and stuff. So it was, they've got a big receiving bay, if you will, where they put these trucks, and you got creepers and everything else, and you top to bottom and stuff. So I think it's well worth it.
Okay.
I would concur.
As would I.
Spending that much money, like, well, we run into it on the water tender you just bought. You screwed that up and didn't get a radio in it.
Yeah, that AM/FM.
So now the guy's.
So it's funny, we asked Pierce about that. You know, what's an AM/FM radio in a fire truck? It's $900 for an AM/FM radio.
It costs $1.73 to manufacture.
Exactly. Yeah. It's crazy.
Because it says Pierce on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Or John Deere. I mean, all the industries do that. So, yeah, you can spec it.
You just aren't going to let them go on it, right?
Yeah. Spec it pre-wired and put your own in.
First thing on his review.
Yeah.
No AM/FM radio. That's it.
Okay. Any public comment on Jason's report?
Nick Schroeder, and I didn't mean to break my vow of silence, but I wondered if the department had found any need for the new snow plow. Have you used it? Is it in service?
Oh, the new plow on our truck?
I don't think they've used it.
Constantly. It's been snowing like crazy.
For the very first time, I can vouch for the very first time Jason said, I'm sort of getting sick of plowing snow. Normally he's pretty excited to plow snow, but he was never. Chris is coming in tomorrow and he's going to plow because I'm sick of it.
Thank you. Okay, trustee activities. I guess mostly everybody did Christmas, didn't they? Somewhere, somehow, some way. And survived it. Made the January meeting.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pete, for shutting down Minneapolis Airport.
You're welcome.
You can make the meeting. I don't know who you know, but I'm going to remember that.
Just follow up on item three. I'd be happy to serve on a committee that was talking. I don't know if anybody else would like to work on the committee to address item three on the that was tabled.
Right. I figured, yeah, whoever wanted to work with the firefighters and Jason. And
you already volunteered, right?
I'll volunteer, yep. If anybody else wants to be involved in that, happy to work with them.
So I think that's a good way to do it, because I've seen more questions than answers there, so I think we can.
I was pleased as they thought about it that, oh, maybe we do know where the bylaws are. I mean, it was we don't have bylaws, and then now all of a sudden, well, maybe we do know where the bylaws are.
Right.
So,
I think it was good.
I think they just need some time to look at it and get after it. Yeah.
And I guess the next thing would be announcements, which is how's everybody look on their February schedule?
What's the date we're talking about?
20th.
Hmm.
Oklahoma.
You think you are?
We've heard this story before, haven't we? What airport do you have to shut down to miss that one, huh?
The Oklahoma City Airport. That could be a trick. I'm good. No, probably not. I'm good the following Tuesday, the 27th.
That's fine.
Does that work for everybody else?
Sorry. Good. I'm good. The February's not looking very good, so I promise.
I don't think we have any real critical agenda issues that anybody's aware of, do we?
You got one thing carrying over from this.
Yeah.
Maybe, if they're ready.
Yeah, that's... I guess it's a down the road thing.
What's that?
Insurance.
Yeah, but I don't think that's a critical. I mean, that's a...
That's a, you guys are going to work a little bit.
That's what we're trying to make sure you guys have a plan that makes sense for you.
If February's not good.
Last year was all the heavy lifting on that.
Yeah, whatever week in February it looks like. So.
But you got a little time to do the commitment.
Yeah, I'll double check with the insurance.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Should we just leave it as it stands then?
Yeah, let's leave it as it stands.
Usually, normally. What that means is Chuck sends me the email and says, "You okay with all this?" I say yes. So it's all the heavy lifting.
Oh, he told me you provided a lot of value.
I just feel like Spidey's oversight.
Oh, oversight.
I need Pete's oversight.
What's the difference?
I need Pete's oversight. It's important to
me. My role as vice chair.
Well, we'll do February 20th then. We'll do at least same do one this place. Year on the third Tuesday.
So far, yeah. We have one done.
Okay. Nothing else?
Well, we do have. You have.
Well, right.
And he needs to say whether he wants it open or closed.
Right. So, at this point, you know, we're going to move to executive session, and Jason we're doing his chief's evaluation, which is...
Do you want it closed, Jason?
Yeah, we did that last year. I think that worked out well.
That's your choice. That's
more that way.
Okay.
So
you can have the appropriate torture devices in the case. That's my fingernails still hurt.
Thank you guys for coming.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
You have my recommendation, Chief. You have my recommendation.
Thank you, sir.
That may be the kiss of death. Thanks, guys.
So yep. We continued to record, or we didn't?
I would turn the recorder off.
Turn the recorder off.